the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Now, a lot of the press attention in the UK over the weekend to the newfound prominence of the DUP has been on who they are, what do they stand for, and what a likely Conservative DUP alliance may bring. But what impact would such an alliance have on the island of Ireland? Joining me on the phone to discuss this is Bernard Purcell, editor of the Irish World newspaper, which is based here in the UK. Hello, Bernard.
Hello, Anthony.
How are you?
I'm grand. Yourself?
Perfect. Not too bad. Now, listen, Bernard, we understand that the outgoing Taoiseach, Enda Kenny, has already been in touch with Theresa May about the possible alliance with the DUP. Do we know what he said?
He said the same thing that one of the authors of the Good Friday Agreement, Jonathan Powell, said in the Financial Times and the Times, and what Leo Varadkar, his likely or putative replacement from Wednesday, as Taoiseach said, and that is a reminder that both governments, it's a sovereign international agreement between both governments to treat all parties in Northern Ireland equally. One can't be, they cannot show preference to either a national side or to a unionist side, but that they are sovereign governments and that they are there to enforce the agreement, the international agreement, in the best interests of the people of Northern Ireland, the island of Ireland and the United Kingdom.
See, and again, a lot of this talk revolved around the Good Friday Agreement at the weekend, that the British government are kind of playing a little bit with fire here with a possible line to the DUP.
Well, that is the fear that a great many people have expressed, but the knowledge amongst British reporters of, say, Irish politics and Northern Irish politics seems to be about as deep as their knowledge of Scottish politics as well, as we've seen in the last few days. People forget that the DUP and Sinn Féin have actually been in government, in a power-sharing government, for 10 years, or nearly 10 years, up until January of this year. And they both have each other's measure. They've both been able to work alongside each other, but will seek political advantage against each other at any given time. In fact, people who are critics of both parties having a monopoly on power in Northern Ireland said that Sinn Féin was only too willing to continue to turn a blind eye to the DUP leader Arlene Foster's support of a plan that cost Northern Ireland hundreds of million pounds in a discredited renewable heat initiative. So Conor Murphy, who is one of the leading lights of Sinn Féin, said earlier today that it's not so much that the peace itself is threatened, because everyone thinks in terms of that binary option of the going back to violence, but he did express a concern that it would make it harder to actually restore the hard-fought-for devolved institutions in Northern Ireland, because keep in mind there hasn't actually been a proper devolved administration in Northern Ireland since January, and the talks were due to resume today.
Now, this is the thing that a lot of people here might not kind of be aware of, but yes, the Assembly in Northern Ireland kind of collapsed, or Sinn Féin withdrew from it a few months ago due to a scandal around that energy scheme that you're talking about. What has been the reaction from Sinn Féin with regards to getting that back on track if the DUP were to go into an alliance with the Tory party?
Well, even though Sinn Féin is led by Michelle O'Neill in Northern Ireland, it's Gerry Adams who has been making the comments on behalf of the party. And he said that he's certainly been enjoying his time in the spotlight on this. But he said that he saw that there was signs for optimism, that the, Arlene Foster had indicated room for, say, concessions on the Irish language, which was one of the sticking points. Yet he nevertheless said that one of the conditions was that Arlene Foster would have to stand aside until that inquiry into the Renewable Heat Initiative has reported back. Now, that there is no way that the DUP would be willing to eat humble pie to that extent. So they are scoring points off each other politically, even though the original controversy seems to have recessed in people's memories. But one of the ironies, of course, is that the DUP, while it was pro-Brexit, has said that it wants to see what Theresa May called a frictionless border. In other words, no return to the border in Northern Ireland, because trade links since the Good Friday Agreement in the last 10, 20 years have just been so greatly improved. There are people commuting either side. There are people studying either side of the border. The border exists in name only, but they are fearful of both a return to that and also the customs duties that might be imposed as a result.
What has the reaction been from other politicians, I suppose particularly south of the border within Ireland? I know Micheál Martin, the leader of the opposition even, has criticised Sinn Féin for not taking their seats at Westminster. Any other kind of reaction or any follow-up from the weekend on that?
There has been, in particular, Charlie Flanagan and Enda Kenny, as you've mentioned, and Leo Varadkar. While they've said that they need to remind the British government of their role to be neutral and independent, some of them have been saying that they think it could possibly... I mean, Heather Humphreys, the Arts and Culture Minister, I think was the first person to say it, and Leo Varadkar echoed this. They thought that it might be a positive that the DUP would have some sway over Theresa May and Brexit, because they said this might mean, because of their position on the border, she'd be compelled to deliver a softer Brexit, or at least take a softer stance on Brexit than she had hitherto promised. But the policies of all the parties as regards the border and Brexit tend to be full of some contradictions and wishful thinking.
So there may be an upside yet, perhaps.
Yes, they're hoping that it could be an upside. Mm. But as any Irish civil servant or politician or even banker will tell you, they find it very, very difficult to reconcile what the British government says it wants from Brexit, which inevitably must see a return to some kind of customs borders and barriers, because Ireland is the land border it was shared with the Northern Ireland is the land border shared between the UK and Ireland, and that will be where the EU begins as far as the UK is concerned. So we've also seen some contradictions about the DUP saying that they would like to remain part of the internal market. Now, we've had both, I think, John McDonnell of Labour and several Tory party people saying that they can't actually be, they want to pull out of that single market. They're stipulating that, well, what they really meant was they want access to the single market. But as anyone will tell you, they're trying to square a circle with some obvious economic contradictions.
Yeah, there's a lot. I suppose a lot in this Brexit thing. I suppose this week as well, we're going to see a new Taoiseach in the Republic of Ireland with Leo Varadkar. Is this going to be a big part of his initial challenge as the new leader in Republic of Ireland, dealing with this DUP fallout and perhaps dealing with the power sharing agreement in Northern Ireland, getting that back on track again?
The single biggest economic challenge facing not just the Republic of Ireland, but also the United Kingdom, will be Brexit. That is not fully understood in the media coverage in this country, because it's been portrayed as a nationalist debate. But there have been Irish officials planning for this since the day of the referendum and trying to pull position papers when there are reports that the Department for Brexit has barely a third of the specialised negotiators that it actually needs. It needs about 1,000 negotiators and Whitehall specialist ones, and it hasn't got anywhere near them yet. Leo Varadkar has been told by, say, the more comfortably off classes in Ireland that he must concentrate less on Northern Ireland, but primarily on Brexit, that Brexit will be the biggest shock to both countries' economies.
Interesting times ahead. Bernard Purcell, editor of the Irish World newspaper, thanks very much for talking us through the reaction back in Ireland to the fallout of the UK general election.
You're welcome, Anthony.